Welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefty's Refuge, a podcast about increasing radical rhetoric in modern politics with a common sense spin. Enjoy the episode. Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefty's Refuge. I just finished recording my last episode and I'm immediately jumping into this one. And the reason that I'm doing it is because I want to cover some actual political happenings now, because I really think it's time that we talk about the figures that we have representing us in British politics right now. The reason that this has been spurred on is everything that's happened to Dominic Raab. Now, I know people behind the scenes who are civil servants who work with Dominic Raab, and the stories I've been told are, I wish I could say unbelievable, but very much on par with what I expect from Dominic Raab. I can't go into them because if it was found out that people had told me these things, then they would be in serious shit. And I also don't want to get sued by Dominic Raab, not the least because he looks about this close, and I'm holding my finger and thumb very close together to pulling my face off already just because I exist. Now, some of the things that have come out of this bullying report is that he is systematically just unpleasant to be around. This has been bandied about for many years. We already know that there was someone in his office who has an NDA on her. We still don't know why. That's what NDAs are for. We also know that it was rumoured that when he was on TV with someone, he cornered her outside of a lift and basically yelled in her face about how much of a garbage person she was. Now, these things are not indicative entirely of someone who's a garbage person. You can do the whole bad day thing, but when you hear more and more and more and more reports, you start to realise that this is a serious issue with someone that is indicative of who they are entirely as a person. One of my favourite things that came out of yesterday when we started to hear that Raab had stepped down. Apparently, Raab doesn't dispute any of the findings and agrees with them, yet also thinks that it's the work of activist civil servants, which I find hilarious. So the report isn't wrong, but it's a smear against you by activists. Now, here's the thing, Mr. Raab. I've heard that you've written an article in The Telegraph that's apparently saying that if we don't move away from, what was it, an Orwellian society or something, a Kafkaesque society, you guys are the ones making it Kafkaesque. I fail to see how that's not being understood by modern Tories. You guys are the ones who are taking away basic access to rights and freedoms, like the right to be able to protest without being infiltrated by the police, like the right to strike without having your job taken away from you. You guys are the ones who are doing everything that would come out of a Kafka book. We are the ones who are trying to restore some semblance of decency in our modern political discourse by removing figures who were apparently quite difficult to work with, including yourself. If you want to talk about Kafka, if you want to talk about any of the Russian writers who talked about things like societal fracture or governmental overstepping, then I would be very careful, because I assure you that people who are on my side have a lot more bullets in our belt than you ever would. Not the least because I'm pretty sure that the only thing that you know about Kafka is that the books are just thick enough to keep your coffee table standing. One of the things that I know is going to come out of this is that Raab et al. Are going to try and paint this as the civil service being filled with people who are far too sensitive, and we need to have less politically correct civil servants so that we can get on with the job. The issue has always been that this government has consistently told us for years that they are or will get on with the job, and yet they are mired in scandal, they have absolutely blown holes in the economy, they have been found to be committing crimes, they have been found to be tax evading. Over and over and over again, these are the people who tell us that they're getting on with the job and they're being stopped by woke civil servants, yet they seem to be doing the things that are causing all of the issues in the first place. There's a simple, expedient solution here, which is you guys just need to stop being so fucking shit, okay? It's not civil servants' fault. It's not civil servants' fault that you are a piece of human garbage, Dominic Raab. It's not their fault that you don't know how to comport yourself. You are the one with learning to do, so I suggest that you go and do it and stop blaming other people for being too sensitive when it's well known that you are a human arse clown to be around. Now, Dominic Raab stepping down doesn't mean that he's no longer an MP. It means that he's just not in one of the top jobs in the country. A job which, by the way, he specifically outlined that he wanted the job title of. Not because he thought that he could do a particularly good job, but because he probably thinks it looks good on his resume. And when the Tories are finally removed from British politics in totality with any luck, I assume that Dominic Raab will use that to lever his influence elsewhere. I used to think that Scott Benton would probably end up working for Donald Trump, considering that he positively sucks at the heels of the man. But considering all of the scandal that's come out about Scott Benton recently, because apparently he's been doing dodgy stuff too, I don't see him working necessarily for Donald Trump, because while he may like the colour orange, I suspect that it will just get him one more step closer to wearing an orange jumpsuit rather than working for an orange human. But Benton and Raab, and if you want to go even further, people like Patel or her much worse counterpart, Suella Braverman, all of these people are what I refer to as single-issue politicians. If you look at Dominic Raab, he was hell-bent on changing the Human Rights Act to strip it back to basics. And that was only allowed because the protections of our laws were vetoed when we came out of the EU. Dominic Raab wanted to strip back our protections in the workforce. He talked about it in Britannia Unchained. He's talked about it myriad times on TV. He said that the British workforce are feckless and lazy. And I don't understand how that man ever got into such a position of power. Now, don't get me wrong, here's the thing. When Tories say things, it's not that I fully wholesale disagree. Of course there are some lazy people in the workforce. I really don't care. Can we function? Are we all happy? Are we all getting paid enough for what we do? Is everyone comfortable and safe? Yes. I don't give a shit about the stragglers, because I assume that it's a minority. If you're implying that most of the British workforce is lazy and feckless, I can tell you that that's not the case. I've worked in many different sectors, and every sector I've worked in, it's been hard fucking graft. Whether it's carrying cans of Coke around a pub, or working in the NHS trying to make sure that consultants get appointed to jobs where they get paid £78,000 a year. Ironically, one of the only places that I've seen true laziness recently is, in fact, British politics. When you have politicians like Raab, like Braverman, like Patel, like, God, pick one of them, they just coast on these single-issue things. My God, if I have to hear the likes of Gullis talk about immigration again, I'm going to eat my microphone just so that I can feel something that isn't boredom. And the thing is, no matter how elegant or eloquent they get, we know that they're single-issue politicians. Half of the intake of 2019 was about Brexit and their stance on it. It wasn't about anything broader. It wasn't about how they were going to sort out things like what's going on in the UK at the moment with the rivers, with the fact that the rivers are just constantly being flooded with toxic crap, or the underfunding of the NHS, or even the restructuring of the NHS to make the existing funding work better. They don't focus on the real issues, and that's because they were elected upon one. And the funniest part of that is that they can't even do that one issue right. You know, I've said this before, a lot of the people who were picked up in the 2019 intake, who were really obsessed with getting Brexit done, blah, 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 all of those people were very interested in making sure that Brexit went through. And I just don't think they care what iteration of Brexit went through. I don't think they care about the damage that's been done to the country, because I think that their whole ethos was get it done and then we'll fix it later. But it just hasn't worked that way. Not the least because a lot of things have come up, but also because these people are just supremely untalented. Dominic Raab hasn't actually done anything like stand out in British politics other than be revealed as a massive dickhead to work with. Suella Braverman is an embarrassment of a Home Secretary that got into the job on a technicality and couldn't even answer basic questions about following the law on TV. Like, remember that this woman was the Attorney General and she condoned lawbreaking. How does that even work? I'm sure that she would say that we were beholden to unfair laws, but I don't know. Those laws were in place for a very long time and negotiated by one of the paragons of right-wing politics in the UK, Margaret Thatcher. So are you really saying that Margaret Thatcher didn't know what she was doing? Because as much as I love the woman, I'm pretty sure she knows what she's doing in politics better than you do, Suella. But the issue is that people cling to these figures so hard because they represent these one issues so hard. And we can see the fomentations of this with certain other issues. I'm not even going to mention culture wars because you know what I'm going to talk about and you know exactly what I'm saying. But if you look at people like Kemi Badenoch, I mentioned her yesterday in an article. This is a woman who's in charge of women inequalities and who wouldn't change the guidance around women being able to take leave because of things like periods or because of things like menopause or PCOS. Her and her government refused to enshrine the idea that misogyny should be a hate crime. And yet they're seen as representatives of fighting for what they're fighting against. And it's absolutely bizarre. One of the things that really confuses me and this seems to be very, very common on the right-wing side, and especially in this government, is the idea that everyone, air quotes, deserves equality, but they don't understand that with equality must come equity. And I'll give you an example. If you make a ramp so that people who are wheelchair users can watch a sporting event, but you make the walls too high for them to be able to see the sporting event when they get in, then it's equality because they can get into the stadium, but it's not equity because they can't see what's happening. Different people need different things, and this is one of the issues that this government just can't understand because they're too dumb. Their uniformity is just absolutely confuzzling because they don't seem to understand that it's more nuanced than they want it to be, and it makes them angry that they cannot pick up the thread of the idea that things need to work on different levels for different people. I genuinely think that that is one of the biggest issues when it comes to all of the culture war nonsense. The government simply doesn't understand how it works. But the problem is that that's now become a weapon that they're using. They've refined it. They're saying, we do know this, but we don't care. But they don't know it, because if they understood how very simple some of the issues that they're constantly bandying about were, then it wouldn't be an issue. That's the whole point. They're making it more complicated than it needs to fucking well be. But I guess this feeds back into something that I talked about recently. I get so annoyed and so confused by the way that British politics seems to be so holistically split into good idea and bad idea, and then we are represented by people that always choose the bad idea. It's so bizarre and confusing to me, and I certainly don't understand how there are huge swathes of the working class that can look at people pushing negative ideas that hurt the working class and who support them wholeheartedly. And when you ask them why, they will always say, well, I wouldn't support other people who would probably make my life a bit easier. There's that guy that was on Question Time recently. This guy was like spitting feathers at someone from Labour, saying that they were going to make his life worse because they were going to tax him more, and he only earned £85,000. And the person was like, well, that puts you in the top 5%. And this guy was arguing that it doesn't. Now, I'm on less than half of that, considerably less than half of that, almost three times less than that. And I don't understand how these people can walk amongst us and think me paying more tax is bad. You earn more. And you tell me and people like me to live within my means, which I do. You live within your means and pay the requisite amount of tax that means that you are putting back into the country. And one of the biggest issues that I have, which I think that a lot of people who are anti-socialist kind of always miss, I don't want to bankrupt anybody. I want things to move to a fairer bracket so that everyone is more on equal footing. But if you earn more, you should pay more. And the reason is because unless you don't do anything with that money, then you are increasing the use of the resources that you naturally have. Do you live in a bigger house? You're using more electricity. You're using more space. You should pay more. Do you own several companies? Your employees are damaging the roads when they're using them. They are doing whatever it is that they do. And even if you are doing something that's massively beneficial to the British public, you are still taking things away from it. So you should pay the same fair amount of tax proportionally to what you have and what you earn. Of course, the Tories can spin it as common sense that there's a lot more people who earn less, so take more, slightly more tax off of them and tax higher earners less so that they innovate and feel more comfortable to stay in the UK. But even that didn't happen when those people got what they wanted. When the Brexit referendum rolled around, huge innovators like Dyson, and I'm not even going through the fucking retinue of names, you can look them up, all of these people fled the country because they could see that it wasn't going to work. They just reaped a load of short-term money from it and then fucked off when they realised that the going was getting tough. The weirdest thing about it is that as someone who counts himself as left-wing, I'm sure there's other people who wouldn't, but I count myself as left-wing and my politics are automatically put down as too aspirational by right-wingers. It's silly and not common sense and waffy-daffy and it's not going to work. This, of course, by the people who've been in charge for so many years and their politics have led to abject chaos across the board. And it's that confuses me. You guys have aspirational politics. They're just really shit and don't work. So if we're going to go for aspirational politics, let's go for aspirational politics that are actually aspirational and see if they fucking work. It's amazing to me that conservatives will constantly try and conserve the amount of money that they have to pay out. They'll conserve the tax rates that means that they don't pay more money. And yet they'll throw our money into a fucking blender. It's only a couple of weeks since Hunt decided that he was going to up the amount of tax that people like me and I assume you listening to this pay. It's absolutely obscene. And I do not understand how people can't see that these people are robbing the country blind whilst telling us it's the other guy's fault. But this leads me back in a huge circle to what I was talking about. These people are single issue. And I just think that the only single issue that we need to worry about is how incompetent they are. I spoke to a friend of mine recently who is a bit more of a kind of centre leftist than me, and he made me laugh because he used to be exactly where I was a few years ago, and he said, you just kind of mellow out as you realise that it's impossible to make everyone happy. And I get that, and maybe that will happen to me, and maybe I will, air quotes, move further right as I get older, but it seems to be the exact opposite happening as I live. The point is that for a while I was there, and I was very, you know, as long as we get the Tories out, we can deal with things after. But I've seen how that works. Look at what happened with Brexit. They got it done. Is it good? No. So maybe we should be aiming for more. Maybe we should be aiming for people who aren't single issue. Maybe we shouldn't be aiming for the single issue, the removal of the Tories. And maybe we should be broadening and diversifying. Because I don't want single issue politics, and I don't want single issue politicians, because there ain't one single issue in the UK. And ironically, my whole last episode, which I've just finished recording, was about the idea that there is a smorgasbord of problems that we need to deal with that's become one super problem. But until we untangle all of the things that have led to where we are right now, we're stuck. And I don't want to focus on the one issue of just removing the Tories. I want immediate betterment. I want the ridiculous laws the Tories have implemented rolling back. I don't want it so that we restrict the right to protest. I don't want it so we restrict the right to strike. I don't want voter ID, because six people in a country of 64 million committing voter fraud is not an excuse to stop people from being able to vote freely and fairly. And if you want to talk about the broadest overarching issue when it comes to the UK right now, if you want to talk about single issue politics, let's talk about the demonisation of minorities, because that is a topic I've covered ad nauseum, and it's something that isn't going away and is only getting worse, and it's going to lead to more and more and more problems and violence. One of the first steps that we need to address immediately, though, is that we need to have better representation in British politics. If you look at the intake of Tories, old and young, a lot of them are just frankly embarrassing right now. I don't know how a lot of the backbench is still sat there in that party, surrounded by these waffling twats that they brought in 2019. Or people like Braverman, who could not do the job of Attorney General. She was woeful. You cannot be an Attorney General and go on TV and defend law-breaking by the Prime Minister. And if you do, then you are not a good Attorney General. The entire point of the Attorney General's job is that they're supposed to maintain law and order. And if the laws are unfair, then it's your job to change them and explain why. And if people don't believe your explanation, then maybe you shouldn't be changing the law in the first place. But the thing is, if you ask me, this does go back further than this intake of Tories. Theresa May has been in British politics for a long time. Look at the scandal that surrounds her when it comes to Windrush. The guy who was looking at tractor porn in Parliament, he wasn't exactly a new kid on the block, was he? How many long-term Tories have been sat in the Houses of Parliament? We've got Tories taking bribes, we've got Tories opening VIP lanes, we've got them involved in sex trafficking and all manner of awful things. And that's the representation that we have. So it is broader than single-issue politics. It's about the decline of British political representation. These people are bad, and it doesn't matter whether it's something as supposedly trivial as bullying or something as serious as taking huge wadges of cash from a company so that you can get them exclusive VIP contracts that they can't handle, which mean that you spread a virus further. The fact is that these people cannot handle the power that they've been given. They should not be in charge. And when are we going to do something about that? Hopefully during the next election. But again, I really don't want single issue politics. I really don't want to have to look towards aspiration and know that it's not going to come in the next 3 to 5 years, you know? I guess this harks back to the first article that I wrote for Byline, and the message really hasn't changed. It's just more insistent now that we have to aim for better, and we have to start hoping that we can get better. But maybe we need to take a step further and not just hope. We need to demonstrate that that's what we want. We need to push for it. Because I don't want anemic politics in the UK. We need brave politics to bring reform that's actually going to make people's lives better. And I really hate when people tell me that that's a bridge too far, that we just need to get someone in to steady the ship. That is not what politicians' jobs are. It's not their job to just undo the damage that shit politicians do. It is their job to continue driving it forward, not stop it from spinning in circles or going into a black hole. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the message. And I think one of the things that we need to do is start weeding out the bad politicians. But we can't do that when we have a cabinet full of them. I'm tired of the Tories. I'm tired of being ruled over by them. I'm tired of hearing scandal after scandal. Not just because it's like, oh, look, I was right again. Gee, everyone, maybe I'm not just being dramatic when I say the Tories are shit. But because it has real life implications. And it's not just that these people are making bad decisions that have made all of our lives economically worse. It's that their ridiculous radical rhetoric has real life disturbing consequences for people. And I don't want that anymore, nor should you. To sum up, I'm very happy that Dominic Raab has finally suffered some recompense for being an unassailable prat. But this should be the start of it. This should be when we clean house and all the politicians that suck step down. Zahawi and his tax dodging, the Tory who I still can't name because he's under police investigation, but who is a massive sex pervert creep. Tories who happily took backhanders from companies or who work second jobs that pay them huge amounts of money to do fuck all except for push them in front of the government so they can get contracts. A prime minister who breaks the law twice and doesn't even seem to flinch about it anymore. A deputy PM who's a bullying piece of shit. A home secretary who had to change her name to escape the association with a Buddhist sex cult. This cannot be British. This cannot be what represents us. And if it is, then maybe I should leave everyone to it and leave. But I don't think that this is us. I said it in the last episode, I say it all the time. They got 46% of the vote, which is far too much, but they were going on a single issue that a lot of people seemed to care about at the time. They need to go, and we need better representation because this is not us, and I don't think that we should continue to be beholden to it. The first step is seeing them as they are, and the second step is doing something about it. We've seen them. Can we do some stuff about it now, please? Thanks for tuning in to Politically Enraged, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you do have any suggestions for any future topics, feel free to reach out to me, and if I'm interested, then maybe we'll discuss. I hope that you enjoyed and learned something, and remember, stay politically enraged and get politically engaged. Thanks.